Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to the Church Planner Podcast. Before we started today, wanted to tell you about a really special opportunity our friends at the Micro Church Conference put on by Brave Future, happening April 18th through the 20th in Kansas City. This is for all of you who are wondering what is a new kind of paradigm for missional church planting and church multiplication through smaller expressions of church, what they call rediscovering the smaller way. It's happening April 18th through the 20th. Kansas City is being hosted by Kansas City Underground. Going to be a great weekend. And they've given us 4 free registrations to give away. Normally the price is $90, but we will get you into the conference for free. We have 4 of those. What you can do to enter is go on our Instagram at Church Planter Podcast. And there you'll find a DM button. Click that DM button. Send us a DM with your email on it and your name and where you serve. So email, name, where you serve, and you'll be entered to win one of 4 micro church conference registrations. You just get yourself to Kansas City and you can be there and learn a ton from our friends at Brave Futures. Hope you enjoy the show today.
Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones, and this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Today's podcast is brought to you by New Breed Training. New Breed exists to provide you with courses, cohorts, and resources from the New Breed team, such as yours truly, Andrea Jones, Ralph Moore, Alan Hirsch, Hugh Halter, and many more. To learn to disciple like Jesus so you can plant like Paul, head on over to newbreedtraining.com. And now, back to the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell and Peyton Jones, or wait, I can't even remember how we do it.
And this is Peyton Jones!
All right, Scott, it's time for this week's topic.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Well, I should probably mention this since we're on the podcast and this email's come out today. Surely, so now it's public. Ralph Moore, who is the only living level 5 multiplier in America, possibly the West, has decided to throw in his lot with a New Breed. So that's kind of a big deal. So actually today, he sent the following email out to his group. It says, "Hey, hope you're doing well during this resurrection season. I'm thankful to serve along with you as we announce the kingdom of God is truly near to those who need God's love. This note is to announce an exciting change. My friends, Peyton Jones," hey, that's me, says author of these amazing books, "Andrea Jones, Brooks Hammond, and Bo Moffitt at New Breed Training have agreed to serve RalphMoore.net and to help take some of the work of running it off my hands. You may wonder about the name New Breed. The New Breed are those leaders seeking to expand the kingdom of God by planting new churches while growing the ones we have. Church planting is being revived in America, so the new is actually as old as the New Testament. If you don't know New Breed, they also work with Alan Hirsch, Brad Briscoe, Hugh Halter, and other like-minded people to equip and train people to expand the kingdom of God. As you can see, not only will I be in good hands with them, but we also share the same passion. They will begin managing my emails, but the plan is to move the blog, podcast, and 8 free courses onto the New Breed platform for the next generation of leaders. Everything I've done will be available there in the Ralph Moore Multiplication Library they're creating. In addition, I'll partner with them in live webinars, and Peyton and I will partner on a couple of new courses. Peyton and I have worked and spoken together many times over the years. We've shared together at Exponential, and Peyton is always, or sorry, we've worked together at Exponential, and Peyton is always trying to get me in front of people who need to hear my story. You can learn more about New Breed by checking out there at newbreedtraining.com, by the way. But anyways, kind of cool. And then he shared our APEST assessment. So if you don't currently know about Ralph Moore, you will now be able to find him at newbreedtraining.com. So that was a huge announcement because now that it's out, do you mind if I tell that story real quick?
I don't even know what story you're going to tell, so I want to hear it.
So this is kind of crazy. There's been some amazing things happening. This is just one of them. So
hold on.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Okay, now you can go.
Right. So here's the deal, right? We actually, we have a number of these kinds of conversations going over, which is crazy to us. But I'm kind of trying to figure how charismatic to get with this right now. But I wanted to tell you that in all honesty, like in the past year, charismatically, things have been popping off in my life. I'm 50. I've started having dreams. Not the dreams like Pee Wee Herman. Do you have any dreams, Pee Wee?
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
Yes! That is so good.
The soundboard is back, baby! The soundboard is back!
V for Vendetta. When I say that, I go, let me talk like a crazy person for a moment. Literally, I'm thinking of that quote.
Are you?
Are you a crazy person? So
sure they'll say I was.
So here's the deal, right? Brooks and I are talking about, so I have this dream and it, you know, and these keep happening. I have this dream about Ralph coming over a new breed, which is total long shot, right? Like the guy's a hero. So that's not going to happen. And so, but anyways, I talk with Brooks and I say, hey, you know, look, Ralph Moore, living legend, using the Star Wars analogy, look, there's a bunch of Luke Skywalkers coming up. You and I were probably on our tail end of being Luke's when we started this thing like 12 years ago or however long ago it was. But here's the deal. Like, I am clearly an Obi-Wan. I have Obi-Wan's beard now. I move like Obi-Wan, but I'm not a Luke anymore. And this podcast, in many ways, was set up to look at those behind us and say, hey, we've been where you're going. Let us be a Paul to your Timothy. And so my passion, you know, I'm no Yoda. We're not Yodas yet, Pete. Like maybe we'll be like Bill and Ted in the rest home, you know, getting up out of our bed and grabbing guitars and playing one last jam.
All I'm saying is I'm Admiral Akbar.
It's a trap. But here's the deal, right? We're not Yodas, but the Lukes need to not start all over and try to, you know, I was talking with Hugh Halter on the phone yesterday and I was talking to Hugh saying, brother, you're now doing all this marketplace stuff, but it took you 50 something years to get where you are today. What if the next generation didn't have to wait 50 something years to learn what you learned? What if you could help them shortcut like Paul did us in the epistles? What if there were guidance, you know, things that you with your ministry background could go to the next generation and say, don't make my mistakes, make your own. So what, you know, and Hugh's like, man, I love it. That's exactly right. It was like Walt Disney when he built Disneyland on his deathbed. They were just starting Disney World and he knew he was going to die. And he grabs Roy and he says, you have to promise me you're going to finish it. 5 years later, Disney World opens because Roy promises him, I will open Disneyland. I will finish what you started. And then Disney World, once it opens, like months later, Roy dies. And, you know, Walt tells him, he says, we're not doing this for us, Roy. We're doing this for the next generation. That's what I feel God has me positioned right now to do. And so with Ralph, I say to Brooks, going back to that story, Brooks and I are meeting and I say, brother, what do you think about this? And I use Brooks a lot. If he tells me it can't be done, often I'll be like, all right, because he's an integrator. I'm a visionary. And, you know, we work extremely well together. And Brooks says, I think this makes a ton of sense. And our hanging question left in the air was, but how do we go to Ralph without offending him? Basically saying, because our question was, we want to steward his content and his legacy to the next generation. But how do you, first off, there's the, we're not worthy, like, you know, Wayne's World, you know, we're not worthy. How do we even go and say that to him? And how do we do it in a way that's not offensive? That was 1 week, might've been a Thursday. I don't remember. Following Monday, Ralph calls me up and says, hey, you and Andrew want to go to lunch? And we say, yeah, you know, like that would be great. You know, what's it? And he says, well, I got to tell you, Ruby and I, Ruby's his wife, we feel that New Breed is the spiritual successor to what we've been doing. And we want to hand you all of our assets. We want to hand you the ministry and let you really absorb it into New Breed. And so I'm like, okay, this is different. This is strange. Like, what's this all about? And that's what we chose to do. And to be honest, but I told him on the call, I said, Ralph, the weirdest thing is, I didn't tell him about the dream yet. I just said, look, the weird thing is, brother, Brooks and I were just talking last week about this very thing and how to approach you about it. So if you know Calvary Chapel was the one that grew and became the megachurch movement. Ralph had some megachurches, but he went microchurch. Like that was discipleship and microchurch was kind of the stuff that, kind of like Rick Warren, where he had a shift and he went, okay, it's all about small groups. Ralph was the pioneer in that. Ralph was the guy, like he knows Rick Warren personally. Ralph was like the guy who just suddenly started giving everything away and apostolically became this movement catalyst. And so for us, man, it's just such an honor. But it was funny because when I told him about the, you know, how we had had the conversation before and how prophetic it seemed, he said to me, well, I'm glad you said that because we've been praying about this for a year, Ruby and I, about you guys taking it. And we needed to make sure, but he goes, just you saying that is a comfort because no matter who you hand it off to, it's not going to be easy. You know, he goes, this is my life's work. It's a legacy. So we are extremely humbled by this. And it's a big task. So we're actually working right now on a micro church course together that will be a hybrid of Ralph and I. And then we're going to start having them participate in some of our cohorts, like the one that's starting up on April 8th, which is Gathering Disciples. That one, Ralph is actually going to make a cameo. And almost that whole session, if you join it, will be Ralph kind of extracting principles out of his stories, which is how he teaches, a bit like Jesus. And then you'll get a Q&A with him as well. It's going to be pretty epic.
Yeah, that's
crazy awesome. Story, though, right?
Yep.
So
no, I mean, because the timing of it is just insane.
I mean, and you know more than our listeners know. Like, you know some of the other stuff that's been popping behind the scenes. Yep. Where it's like the quickening. Like, Ralph was the first. Then I got another call. Then I was like, all right, Lord, if so-and-so calls me, I won't give any names yet because we're not making those announcements. But all of a sudden, I was like, all right, what about the Lord, if you have this guy call me, I'll know you're up to something. You're wanting this to happen. And boom, that guy called 2 days later. And so within a period of 2 weeks, three people asked us to do the same thing. And it's just, and it's kind of built up from there. I think we're up to about 7 or 8 big hitters right now that are looking at doing the same with us. So it's kind of a big deal. We're super excited about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So anyways, that I suppose today we were going to show up and talk to you about something else. We did say this would be a very special edition of the Church Planner Podcast. But I guess really it's about our announcement. And now a message from our sponsor. At Reliant, we understand that the journey towards financial sustainability and church planning can be tough, especially when you're charting new paths. That's where we step in alongside you as a partner. With our biblically based support raising training and coaching, we empower you to invite others to partner with you in the work that God is doing in and through your church plant. But we don't stop there. We also partner with you by handling back-end employment services like payroll, HR support, and comprehensive benefits like medical, dental, and even offer a 403(b)(9) retirement plan. Our goal? Freeing you up to spend even more time sharing the gospel in your context. Oh, and did we mention being able to do it in a healthy and sustainable way yet? If you visit Reliant.org /CPP today. You can learn more and also get access to the three videos addressing the questions. Is support raising biblical and applicable to today? These three videos are a preview of our training, and we hope they will encourage you as you invite others to be gospel partners with you. Our heart, like yours, is to see more healthy and sustainable church plants. You have the vision, mission, and passion for this church plant. We can help. Visit Reliant.org/CPP today to learn more and get your free resource. Now, back to the Church Planner Podcast.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Now that it's that part of the show where we talk smack, what you gonna do when the Church Planner Podcast runs wild on you?
And just because I promised this to Travis.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexis.
I love that soundbite.
My favorite. We should have played that for Todd Bolsinger when we interviewed him.
Honestly, he seemed like a straight up guy, and I was kind of afraid because I was like, I had my finger on this button. And then I wanted to, like, every once in a while drop one of these. I was like, I don't know if I can do that to this guy, but my finger was on the button, man. It was on the button.
Well, his interview doesn't come out until the fall because he's got four books dropping, but time is a finite thing and a harsh mistress. So here we are doing Smack Talk, and today will be a little bit of a shorter podcast, but that's okay. I'm a man of short stature. That works for me.
So if we did like a 5-minute Smack Talk, what's going on in your life?
Oh gosh. I have nothing of note to talk about.
Wait a second.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
What the heck is that? That is the best.
This is what happens when I get a new soundboard.
You got to play that again. I got to hear that again.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Pretty sure it's from Office Space, but I'm not 100%. I was going through my Dropbox trying to find all of our old sound bites. I couldn't find them all, but I was finding some great ones. So there you go.
Speaking of that, okay, so my daughters are playing lacrosse, and my buddy was up there working the scoreboard. So he's sitting at this old table in front of the stands, and he kept forgetting to put points on the board. And so at one time, from Office Space, I did the voice of Thur, you need to put the point on the board, Thur. And I'm pretty sure someone took my stapler. And, I was a proud moment for me. I knew no one else got it. A couple of people looked at me and smiled in the stands, but most people are just like, what's that guy talking about? But that was a proud moment for me.
Did he recognize it? Did he understand what you were doing?
Yeah, I knew he would recognize it. But that was a proud moment.
Nice, nice.
This is very, very bad.
Of course, you have no idea who that character is.
No, and I don't know if you guys are having this in California, but apparently episode one is coming back to the movie theater for, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's a one-night deal.
I'm gonna go see it.
But I've been – is it coming there too? Because I've been getting –
I don't know, emails. But I'm going to go see it now.
I'm
this sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I am well impressed with this new soundboard you have. I'm really impressed. I think this means bad things for us. And I think we should just badger our guests with, so, like, how cool would that be if our guests come on and they just know we're going to badger them? I like that.
Well, they should know by now, because I do think that every once in a while, someone will intentionally give us like a 1 or 2 star review just so they can make the podcast. And then they end up revising it later to like a 4 or 5.
But we could be those interviewers where we're like, yeah, so Todd Bolsinger, MDiv, PhD, tell us about, you know, like, we could do that kind of stuff. Do we want to be those guys? Or are we those guys and we're hiding it?
I'm not, clearly, because half the questions that Brooke sent over, I'm like, I don't even understand the question. You want me to ask this? That's why, like, when you said that to me, I was like, I got a question for the guy, but it ain't one of these.
Yeah, but like, you could see I was going off the reservation big time on that interview.
Yeah, like, but see, you do that kind of thing because one of the key differences between you and me, yeah, you read books, you like books. I listen to books,
but you got to admit that last interview question that I, or a couple of the interview questions, that last one in particular about all the rich people, that one had an edge on it.
Well, it always does.
Yeah.
This is Peyton.
Wait till they get a load of me.
That's all I'm saying.
Joker, 1989 Batman. Hey, so real quick, I did want to say regarding the Star Wars films, did you see the new trailer for the Acolyte?
Yeah, I did. It looks all right. Honestly, my big takeaway from it was, oh, what? Now we got to have a bunch of yellow lightsabers because of freaking Rey?
Feelings. Because of feelings.
I was just like,
did Rey have a yellow lightsaber? I don't remember that.
At the very end, when she like buries Luke and Leia's saber or whatever she did there at the end, and she made her own, it was yellow. It's the first time we've seen a yellow one. And then in the trailer, like a third of the people have yellow. They got green, blue, and then yellow. And I'm like, dude, seriously?
So they're trying to say she got that from the old Jedi text. So now they can MacGuffin everything from those books that she rescued out of the burning Dagobah tree.
But have you noticed there are no books in the Star Wars world until that? There's never been a book. Ever. There was no books. There's basically no paper.
No.
It was all computer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, right? There were never kids in the Star Wars films. There weren't books. And
well, that's because of Anakin.
Yeah. No one ever ate.
He killed them all.
Yeah. No one ever ate either, except the one time where Luke chomped on a biscuit in Dagobah Swamp. When he was hanging out with Yoda. Other than that, no, you never saw anyone eating. Like, there were these things about Star Wars that were just always interesting. And then that changed with the prequels.
And now we got to have blue milk. Like, that's apparently they're coming out with this, so you can buy blue milk.
I'm totally buying it. Aren't you?
No.
Oh, dude. Look, if you got to get milk and there's blue milk in the supermarket, why would you not just opt for the blue milk?
I've been off sugar again. This will be day 4 of no sugar. And you know blue milk is going to be all sugar. So but
this is what I want to tell you. The blue milk, Star Wars fans aren't mad at the blue milk. They're mad at the green milk, Pete. The green milk is what came out of the teat of the big walrus monster.
So where did they get the blue milk from?
Huh?
I thought the
blue milk was in the original. That's what Luke and them were drinking in the bar. Yeah, that was the hard stuff. In the cantina. I mean, the green stuff. That was
70% proof by volume.
Woo, the blue stuff. I would even venture to say, Pete, perhaps the green milk turns blue when it ferments. You know what I'm saying? I haven't checked my sources on this. But
I don't know.
So Liberty, my daughter, she's 15. She has the best nerd voice that she does right now. It can get me cracking up. According to my calculation, she does this whole, but I cannot do this thing justice. It is amazing. It's like she's a freaking cartoon character. I told her, you have a future in cartoon voices. But she gets a whole family cracking up when she does this stuff.
You want to know what the very first photo I have on my cell phone? Let me see if I can do it by library. Let's go by years. I'm going to go to the very stinking first photo I have. Literally, this is the one.
No way.
Very first photo on my phone.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It says April 30th, 2014. It's your daughter poking me at dinner when we were having pizza
with silverware.
When we were having pizza at that place for Exponential. I was looking for the Holy Girl. What was that? Holy Land. I was looking for the Holy Land.
That's gone now. That's completely been their development.
I know, but I was looking for the picture that we took because it. Like my TV's got a screensaver, and so it popped up one day, and I'm like, oh, I gotta find that. That was from 2014. It's not on my phone, so I don't know. I don't have.
Man, that was such a great night. My daughter tormented you relentlessly, and I think she was 4 or 5 years old.
Oh no, your daughter.
And she normally didn't torment people, but I think, yeah.
But I earned it. And you know what I also saw on my screensaver? I saw our dolphin where we taped the Get the Church Planner podcast, and it was floating above the exponential crowd.
You have to post that on
I couldn't Facebook. Find it. It was on my screensaver on the TV, but I have no idea where the photo is.
Tyrone rescuing that off the ceiling, spending like an hour, and the second he did, he hands it to Liberty, and she lets go of it, and it floats right back up there.
The best part about Tyrone, this to me literally is the best thing. How does he introduce himself to you and me?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm
not supposed to talk about that, Pete.
I'm the only white guy you'll meet by the name of Tyrone. And then so we started calling him White Tyrone on the podcast. And then what does he do? He reaches out to us. Hey, can you not call me White Tyrone on the podcast? So what do we do? The Church Planner, formerly known as White Tyrone. Like, this is just how irreverent we are to our people who come to us.
I think we need to return to our roots. I'm feeling a little salty these days. You know, I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling some pent up angst. We actually have a lot of really rough stuff going on in our life right now. So when those times come, I start getting a little twitchy, but I want to talk about happier things these days. So I was trying to keep it to Star Wars, the prequels, the sequels, and now The Acolyte.
Now you got to switch into Ned Flanders.
Gotta be nice.
I need to get the Methodist and the Seventh-day Adventist clip on the soundboard.
It is so relevant to me now that I am actually a Methodist. It actually deeply has connections to my soul.
I gotta find that one. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah, man. I mean, what's going on in your life?
Jamie and I are looking at different houses, possibly moving at some point. Here's the interesting thing, right? Because we just moved here less than 2 years ago. And our house is literally perfect for us. So if we don't move, it's not like it's bad for us. Like, our house, the way it's designed, the setup, absolutely perfect. But we're kind of looking at the kids and thinking of the future. And we're not crazy about how Plano does high school.
Oh.
And we're not crazy about even the ratings for the Plano high schools that our kids would be going to. And so that's the reason why we're looking. Maybe we should move, because private schools here are basically college costs. Like, it's the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. And I think it's because for so many years, you make really good money here, and home prices were so stinking low.
Wow.
That it was like you weren't spending your money on a home. So why not spend it on your kids' education? It's basically a college. And so anyway, we've been looking at these different areas, and oh my gosh, man, there are some areas around here that are just gorgeous with like phenomenal homes. And I'm looking at the house prices going, okay, I want to buy every home in that city because this is absurdly cheap. You know, when you come from California, that's just like the thought that goes through your head. It's like, this is insane. I want these. So, but yeah. I didn't win the Mega Millions last night. I wasn't the guy in New Jersey who won the 1.1 billion. So I don't know. If you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
Hey there, bivocational pastors. Are you tired of spinning your wheels, trying to juggle your church duties and provide for your family? Well, hold on tight, because I've got some game-changing news for you. It's time to unveil missionbybusiness.com, the holy grail of training programs crafted exclusively for bivocational pastors like you. We get it. Your time is sacred, and you deserve a money-making solution that won't suck up every minute of your day. In just 9 short weeks, you'll become a powerhouse, armed with the secrets to launch your own business using the mind-blowing force of artificial intelligence. Yep, AI is going to be your secret weapon. Now it's time to stop dreaming and start acting. Head over to missionbybusiness.com and feast your eyes on our masterclass video, which covers everything in much more detail. It's time to build a business that fuels your dreams, supports your church, and provides for your family. Don't wait another moment. Seize this opportunity with both hands. Head on over to missionbybusiness.com now.